Hello and welcome to the Foreign Desk Explainer on Monocle 24. I'm Steve Bloomfield. In this episode, is Canada's immigration system the model that all liberal nations should follow? A couple of months ago, the leader of the Conservative Party rose at the dispatch box in the House of Commons and spoke eloquently about the need for her nation to accept more than 1,000 refugees fleeing ISIS in Iraq. No one claimed the nation's well of hospitality would be exhausted. No one suggested the children should be subjected to dental checks. The motion was passed by 313 votes to none. This was not some parallel universe. This was Canada. Since the election of Justin Trudeau in September 2015, the world has been reminded of Canada's liberalism and compassion.
Liberals understand that our new Canadians are nation builders, not just units of production.
And indeed, as that refugee debate proved, that liberalism and compassion is bipartisan. The motion to designate the Yazidis as victims of genocide and therefore be accepted as refugees was tabled by Rona Ambrose's Conservative Party. This was not a one-off. While most other Western nations recoiled at the idea of accepting Syrian refugees, the UK, for instance, had to be shamed into agreeing to take 20,000 over 5 years, while a succession of EU nations balked at taking even a few hundred, Trudeau announced that Canada would accept 25,000 immediately. What's more, he then went to the airport to greet the first arrivals and welcome them as new Canadians.
This is a wonderful night where we get to show not just a plane load of new Canadians what Canada's all about, but we get to show the world how to open our hearts and welcome in people who are fleeing extraordinarily.
Canada's liberalism is not limited to refugees. It's reflected in their broader immigration policy. Earlier this year, the Canadian government announced that more people had migrated to Canada in 2015 than ever before, and no one batted an eyelid. In fact, the announcement that 300,000 people had made Canada their new home and the ambition to pass the total again the year after was greeted with some satisfaction. It didn't happen by accident. Canada went out looking for their new arrivals. In August, for example, the country's immigration minister, John McCallum, visited China. While there, he asked officials to double the number of visa application centres in the country.
Will the government immediately enter into discussions with China to get the same treatment as the United States? That is 10-year reciprocal visas for visitors and business people.
And once they are in Canada, provinces and cities then compete to host the newcomers. Incidentally, that figure of 300,000 for an overall population of around 35 million is comparable to the 650,000 who came to Britain, population 65 million. Where Canada leads, the UK should follow. Cities and regions where there is public support for immigration should be able to compete for new arrivals. London, Scotland, possibly Manchester would jump at the chance. And the Canada model also offers a way out of the freedom of movement cul-de-sac that progressives in Britain have found themselves in following the EU referendum. Canada has control of its own borders and doesn't have freedom of movement for fellow NAFTA members, yet still manages to have a liberal immigration policy. Canada proves that it's possible to have a liberal attitude to immigration and accept the end of freedom of movement. For many years, those on the right have argued that the UK should follow the Australian system, with its inhumane offshore processing and accusations of human rights abuses. Perhaps it's time that British liberals found another Commonwealth nation to which to aspire. That was the Foreign Desk Explainer. Tune in this Saturday for the full 30-minute edition of the Foreign Desk. I'm Steve Bloomfield. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.